I mean, the question that I've kind of parked myself on is just trying to figure out, well, what is this thing? Like, how do we describe it? And how do we describe it in a way that the partners, the industries that we're engaging with can understand?
The news today, you could pretty much rebrand the bad news, right? Because like every single time you're watching, there's anxiety everywhere. It's not a great place for us to turn. We turn there, but we also know when we tune in that there's some fairly brutally biased news commentary coming at us. And my question is, like, where do we go to trust now? Then you've got anonymous comments on different platforms. I don't think that's the answer. Twitter might have it right. Maybe they don't. I think we follow certain people there. But there is this, and I'm using their words, a giant beast of a platform that might just have it figured out. And they could be the gateway to trust. I love these guys. And I think they're sitting at the intersection of content, of news, of social media. And it's a vouched forum. And I'm, of course, speaking about Reddit. And joining us today is the global director of Reddit's Karma Lab. He's listed as an Adweek top 50 in tech, media, and marketing. And Will, Katie, we've had a couple conversations. He describes himself as a conscious creator. I'm going to vouch for that just from our conversations. Will, it's great to see you, man. How you doing?
Ryan, thank you so much for having me on this podcast. It's such an honor and a privilege.
Will, so 6.5 years now at the company?
It's been a long time, especially in tech, right? That's I think that translates to what, 6 decades maybe?
Is that what it is? Is that like the code inside of tech companies, 1 year?
I don't know. It's at least like dog years, you know. It's some multiple. It's definitely not 1-to-1. I mean, a year in tech is a lot of change happens.
I mean, there is a lot of change, right? And I'm curious, you know, you said it yourself, like you're a conscious creator. And if you're consciously creating, then you're consciously making the choice to change something. But yet, over the time that you've been there, those 6.5 years, can you maybe share one place where you've been intentional about not changing?
Yeah, you know, I'd say I'm really fortunate that the mission of the place that I work is a really strong lock to some of my foundational values. When you talk about being a conscious creator, I'm really trying to do the best that I can to be human. And when you walk into the headquarters of Reddit, and it's been this way since I started, actually, there's huge glowing letters emblazoned on the wall that say, "Remember the human," which is a pretty provocative idea for a tech company. It's a pretty provocative idea for where a lot of our interests as, you know, a culture more broadly have gone in the last few years, couple of decades, right? You know, we think about tech, when you think about the way that we process information, silently, quietly, humbly, I've seen Reddit just kind of sit there and just say, "Remember the human. Remember what that is." And that's been there since the beginning. That ladders up to things that become talking points in the industry, like community. That was really a buzzword in our halls when I started, you know, understanding that what this platform is. You know, is it a website? Is it an app? Whatever it is, however it presents to the world, it holds communities. And communities are a human experience at scale. And there's something really valuable to the people, to the humans that come to the platform for it. And there's something that's going to be valuable to the world. And so I've seen Reddit as a company kind of hold its ground in that space, and the industry move towards those values over the years. It's been really fascinating to see what looks like Reddit kind of running out ahead on a concept like community marketing, but we've just been standing on our ground, believing in what we believe. And that pairs really well with what I believe, that the most important question for me right now is what does it mean to remember the human?
I mean, I love that. I love that that's like the first thing you see when you walk in there. It's funny even to hear you say community marketing or community platform, because I think you've done such a good job. It just feels like a community. There's this allure to Reddit that you just feel it is a trusted space to have a conversation inside of a community. You know, you were doing strategy for these guys early, you know, early on. I think content creators are strategists, so you're still doing this clearly, right? But like, since you've been there, like, is that still the strategy? Is it still about building communities, or how would you describe
it? It is, yeah. And you know, you're talking a lot about trust, and that's such an important thing on so many different levels. And since I started at Reddit, I mean, the question that I've kind of parked myself on is just trying to figure out, what is this thing? Like, how do we describe it? And how do we describe it in a way that the partners, the industries that we're engaging with can understand what exactly is going on here and why it's of value to them? And that concept of trust has really been the key. And, you know, I can't say that Reddit has trust figured out, because nobody has trust figured out. And anybody that has a glancing moment to figuring it out is going to miss it the next moment, because it's constantly evolving. But we care about it. And we care about it because we do have something special happening on the platform. We see this. We brought on a marketing sciences team a few years ago. And that was one of the first things that they looked at. Like, how much do people trust the information that they get on Reddit versus elsewhere? And that was when we started to see a little bit of the story come into focus, where our set in the answer to that, we were grouped closer to search than we were to social, right? That it was really in that high percentile that people are using Reddit to search for information about, you know, the news or products or services or culture or hobbies, whatever it is, they're using Reddit in that way. But on the surface, it looks like a social platform, right? So it's been this like tricky thing to kind of describe. When I first started at Reddit, it was pre-redesign of the site itself. So, you know, there's a lot of conversation about Web3 right now, right? This is like a Web1 platform, basically the way that it looked during the time of Web2. And it was really, it still commanded a lot of power in culture, and it was determining outcomes for a lot of different businesses that I was meeting with, especially in the entertainment space. Because early on, you know, my role was in Los Angeles, introducing Reddit to that market. And sitting down with some of those business leaders, the question was like, what is this thing and what are we going to do about it? And so that really required a lot of, let's call it, creative strategy, because we've been developing an enormous suite of products off of the strategies that we discovered work meaningfully for really like leveraging that excitement, that attention, that trust that exists on the platform without eroding it, right? Which is typically what you'll see with an advertising model, is that you're eroding these things to kind of build off of them. And so that's always been where I focus my attention and how I contribute to what Reddit can be, is thinking deeply about that exact nexus point.
Yeah, no doubt the intentionality is there, right? And yeah. I love what you said about like the 1.0 design and the 2.0 design. There's something disarming about it. I think Google clearly has done a good job of this too, to be honest. You both have, on like less is more, super clean. In fact, when we run into super polished, we're a little skeptical now as human creatures, right? Remember the human. And so in some ways, talk me through those choices. What I feel like when I come to the platform, like I am focused on the right things, which is the conversation and the community, and the design itself sort of it's clearly a thought, but it's also designed to almost not be an afterthought, but like, let's get to what you're here to do. What's the conversation? Is that, I mean, I'm sure it's intentional, but was that the point?
Well, so, you know, I can't speak directly to the UX myself. We've had, you know, many, many people and significant teams that have really been the ones that made the redesign happen, that made the mobile app happen. That's not an area that I directly impact. But it is an area that it's my job to understand what's going on and the values and the principles that are at play. And I think that when you look at an example of place on Reddit is something that a lot of people, it's like their first association with Reddit these days is what we do for April Fools. We create this canvas. Everybody can kind of place a pixel every 5 minutes and they have to work together to make art, right? That is something that is a pretty sophisticated experience, but the rules are actually very, very gentle and open. And there's a lot of ways for interpreting the rules in a bit of like a game theory mindset. You want to create something that is easy to use, but difficult to master. And Reddit has always been that to the extreme, right? It's easy to have content just come to you when you come to the front page of Reddit or come to the subreddit that is in that particular interest or passion that, you know, your people are in and you're connecting with that. And you can just kind of passively consume it. But then you can take that step and be like, I want to be an active participant, a contributor to the community broadly or to this subreddit specifically. And there is a very tall, high mountain to climb when you're doing that. And what that does is it creates this dynamic of social equity for people. You know, we have a lot of communities, especially in the creative space, where you have professionals that are, let's say it's the filmmakers subreddit, for example. We've got people that have movies on Netflix. We have people that are recording with their iPhones for the first time and everybody in between. And so it creates this dynamic where the masters and the students and everybody that is, you know, kind of on their way on that journey can connect with each other. And even just Reddit itself, like there's a community theory of Reddit, people just trying to figure out how Reddit works. Their mastery of it becomes something that gives them value, gives them equity. And so it creates this sort of like energy and excitement that is really at the heart of the community. And so long as we have both of those working well, I think the site will thrive. That it's easy to just drop in and experience it your way for the first time, and that it's really, really difficult to totally master it. I'd say Reddit is impossible to master. And so it just basically that horizon of how far you could explore it is infinite. And that's what makes it exciting.
Yeah, it's like it's not a rabbit hole, it's a Reddit hole, right? Like it's just infinite in a good way. And I like how if you opt in, you can keep going. I do feel like the way you talk about masters and what was it, learners, I'm blowing it, but like it is kind of like truth. Like, are we ever really a master? Are we constantly trying to learn and improve? And Reddit is a place where you can, it's almost like mentors and students coming together in one community hub. I'd love to pivot a little bit to the Karma Lab. So you've been over at Reddit's Karma Lab, I think a little over a year now. Can you kind of give a high level, what exactly is this?
Yeah, Karma Lab is Reddit's in-house creative strategy team that helps companies contribute meaningfully to communities on the platform or in culture. So when we minted the brand name Karma Lab, because this team has actually been around since about 2018, it's been around for a while. But when we minted the name, we gave it the mission statement to turn curiosity into understanding. And so where we begin that journey with our partners a lot is taking a look at culture and identifying the trends or coming catalysts that matter, that, you know, impact their business in some way or could impact their business, that there is a community that's doing something that's really, really interesting, and that maybe there's an opportunity for them to, you know, be a positive contributor to that culture. And then we have a lot of toolkits with the ads platform and some of the other tools on Reddit to help make that happen. Sometimes it's really focused. It's just inside of one community itself. Sometimes it's really broad and we're doing something on Reddit that, you know, we're trying to break the whole internet with by making a big moment happen and everything in between.
I mean, I'm looking at your background here. I wish people could see it. He's got his guitar on the wall, pretty wicked hat up there, copious amounts of books. I mean, you're kind of a living definition here of, you know, turning curiosity into understanding. And I did notice the shift a few years back where you did take the strategy title and you shifted it into more of a creativity title, right? Being a conscious creator. Maybe you can, you know, hey, let's turn this into a brief. Like, give me the strategy for why you decided to make this pivot.
Sure. Well, I mean, first I'll talk about what creative strategy means to me and why we called Karma Lab a creative strategy agency, not a creative agency. And it's that on Reddit especially, I mean, you mentioned that you see the guitar on my wall. I mean, I'm a musician. I'm not really sure how I got here, but you know, I was playing bass professionally for about 15 years and then, you know, just kind of found my way into digital media and marketing. And that gave me the mindset of being a creative with a capital C and really valuing my ideas, my extra special, super cool, better than anybody ideas. That was the way that I kind of looked at myself. And then as I started actually contributing to Reddit as a artist, as a musician, and then working at Reddit and trying to discover where the value is, it flipped the script on me. And I realized that the role of being a creator with a community is not to think about your ideas, but to think about the ideas that are happening around you that are self-apparent, that want to emerge in culture. And so that's why for the Karma Lab team, which is kind of built on that principle of uncovering the idea, is it begins with strategy, because strategy is about understanding, and in a way creative is about curiosity, right? So strategy means understanding the different communities and cultures that are doing whatever on the platform, understanding where they come from, where they're going, what they want, what they need, what's missing, what isn't there, but kind of wants to be. And then you put the creativity on top. The creativity is like, okay, so how do we tell this story? We see the story with our eyes of strategy, and then we tell it with creativity. So that's the creative strategy piece. The conscious creator part, that is really doubling down and digging my heels in deeper in the idea of remembering the human, because my belief is that to create is to be human. And the conscious aspect of that is to say that I'm going to claim that. And there's a lot of other things that I do in Reddit as a company on the community, in addition to leading the creative strategy team. It's I lead our meditation sessions for the employees. I do that on Reddit Talk with the meditation community that we have as well. And so the idea of cultivating creativity as a deeply human experience, it comes from a sense of consciousness as well. And so I really try to find the deepest well of my humanity to be the space that my creativity comes from. And I try to awaken that in other people as best I can.
In the spirit of the meditation sessions, you had shared a story with me about how courage sort of came to fruition in one of the meditation sessions. Can you share that story?
Yeah. I mean, it's timely. So in yesterday's weekly session with the meditation community, there is this, I really ended up focusing on breathing, and breathing in a way that, you know, connects you with the ground underneath your feet, just kind of get grounded and just sort of, a lot of the work in meditation is built on this idea that anxiety is creativity waiting to be transmuted. And there's, in a lot of practices, the notion of just sort of like flushing your anxieties down into the ground, just like breathing them out, and then like breathing in anything that, you know, you feel will nourish you. So we were doing that. And the way that I've been leading this breath work is really having people explore the maximum range of your lungs, your breath, because you probably don't. You're probably breathing really shallowly, not even really using the full capacity. And so just having people fill up their lungs completely to the highest, you know, point that they can, and then emptying completely to the lowest point that they can. And at each one of those poles, you have the notion of what you get when you hold yourself there, like holding empty breath, holding full lungs. When you're at the bottom of your breath, the how I guided people in this session, and I've been doing this a few times, is to say that this is where courage comes from, to sit in comfort in lack of air. It's the lowest common denominator of where courage is needed, right? It's that sense of emptiness, that sense of lack. And if you can sit there and be at peace with that discomfort, you can cultivate courage from that place. And then on the other side, when your lungs are at their fullest, that's where gratitude comes from, because you have all of this nourishment, all of this abundance. And so we were breathing through, and in that notion of releasing as much as you can as you exhale into the ground, the height of your courage is the height of how much you're capable of releasing, of letting go of in that moment. And then the height of your gratitude is how much you can kind of call in and actually feed yourself off of. So there's courage and gratitude on either side. And just simply with the breath alone, it's the way to expand the volume or potency or power of the courage that you're capable of, or the gratitude that you're capable of.
I love that, dude. I got to tell you, I almost cut you off because I was like, all right, listener. I mean, I had my audio on mute because I'm sitting here breathing and I'm like, I'm literally going into a meditation session. And listen, I don't want to tell the listener how to listen to my podcast, you know, if you're on a run, or you're definitely not if you're in a car, but go back to the last minute and just run that for yourself, because it truly felt so good to just breathe, you know, take it in. And I love how you talked about abundance and gratitude on one side of this, and, you know, sitting in that uncomfortableness, which is where courage is, on the other side. And that whole act to me is a courageous act. It feels like a courageous act. There's a vessel for that courageous act. You playing guitar for 15 years professionally is a courageous act. And you have this other creative, courageous act in the works right now. You're in it. Mm-hmm. This is on the writing of your first book. And, you know, this is one of those tricky ones. I'm like, I've seen your future. Like, I was in the journey on that first book, right?
You've been up the mountain. Yeah.
And like, you've got to go on it. You're on your own. You have to go run the race yourself. So one, like, congrats, because it's so hard. And I know you well enough to know you want it to be great. This is not like, oh, Will's going to hire a ghostwriter and phone it in. Like, you're going to go on the journey and turn that curiosity into understanding. But like, maybe you could share, where are you in the process and how is it going so far?
Yeah, I mean, I can't do it that way. I have to get it out. You know, I alluded to this idea that anxiety is creativity ready to be transmuted. Anxiety is a big word. It's used in a lot of ways. I will say that I'm holding on to a lot right now that I'm ready to release. And that's not, you know, it's excitation just as much as anxiety. It's just like, it's data, it's information that's in my brain, in my heart, in my body. And this experience of writing has to be a release for me. I have to get this stuff out. And I think that that's something that a lot of people that work in creativity can probably relate to, is it would be way easier to not do this. Way easier.
I'm like trying not to laugh because I don't want to, we're audio, but no, you can't even help yourself. And, you know, when I think back to my listening on storytelling, my listening lap on storytelling, like, you know, as I'm sure you know, lots of stories are pretty much the same structure, right? There's, and this is not me, this is like the experts who teach this stuff, right? And they talk about, like, every movie is basically the tension gets bigger and bigger, and the tension has to be released. And then there's another mountain, and then that tension has to be released. And then there's another mountain, and that tension has to be released. And if you watch movies, because as we sit and pay $20 for a movie, We're paying for the anxiety to be released, right? That creativity to be transmuted. But then, like, you got to give me a break, make me laugh for a minute, and then take me back into it. And back and forth we go, back and forth we go. Is that how you feel about what you're working on?
It is, yeah. And actually, it kind of it raises an interesting question I just want to open up with you, because catharsis, right? There's a relationship between courage and catharsis, isn't there? Right. And like, that's what I'm looking for, is I'm looking for the catharsis of this release to get that out. And the idea of the courage required, you know, if you want to have a personal breakthrough to reach that catharsis, if that's just for your own, you know, kind of therapeutic path, or for something that's, you know, a creative effort, you kind of have to charge yourself up to like climb that mountain. So that's what I'm chasing personally. But I also, you know, for the book, I'm following a bit of a philosophy that was, that I really learned from a lot of the leaders at Reddit, where when it comes to like personal growth, and if you want to be a leader, you want to be a manager, they taught me that the first thing you got to ask is, what are people going to learn from you? Like, why is, yes, you want to do this. Like, yes, I want to, you know, scream my story and my thoughts and ideas to the world, but why is that good for anybody other than me? And I think that I've got to believe that what it is that I have to share can be of value to others. So there were times where there's things that I've wanted to write and share that I felt would be like good for me, but didn't really see how it would be valuable for anybody else. And so I'm in the part of the process right now where how my best effort at making it valuable to other people is very clear to me. And so I just got to write that out. And that's kind of the phase in between that courage and catharsis point, right? Of just putting one foot in front of the other. And climbing up that mountain. Like, I know what I need to do. I know where I need to go, and I just got to do it. Right. And not overthink it, but just do it.
Well, it makes it, I felt it made it easier, right? Because when you felt, oh gosh, this has got nothing to do with me. There's a bigger purpose to this work. And, you know, you got to check. I mean, I remember checking like, oh, I'm my ego on that too. Right. Like, this can't be about me. And the catharsis commentary, like I use the word liberation, right? Like, to me, courage is not an outcome. It's a journey word. Like, it is a journey word that's needed on the way to liberation, on the way to the change. It's, you don't get to the change. You don't get to that break free moment without having the courage to go through it. And so you're in it now. Can you share just 1 minute high level on what the book is about?
Yeah, I can. I love what you said, by the way, in terms of holding the focus on the journey work, because we're so conditioned to be outcome focused. And, you know, I think that's, you know, I have to catch myself, because that focus on catharsis removes you from the joy of the process. Right. And so for it to do for me, and hopefully for anybody that, you know, feels called to pick it up and read it, I have to be present in the work as much as I can. And so, it's a very self-involved process. And the hope is that, you know, through that, something of value comes out. And, you know, it's a dance with the ego. I've been dancing with my ego my whole life. And this is on the other side of, you know, being younger and realizing that I had a big ego and it was causing problems, that I really retreated from it and I hid. And then I kind of discovered that that's also an egotistical thing to do. It's such a puzzle, right? And so this is sort of trying to find my way back towards that middle of, you know, just trying to make my life and ideas of service to anybody that, you know, wants to spend time with me. And so even if nobody reads the book, I think the transformation that's going to happen for me I hope it makes me better to be around, right? Like that's one of the hopes. So it's a really deep internal experience. So the book itself is about where creativity comes from, and it fuses together a method that I use for my creative process and advising and the meditation that I lead that's direction based. And it helps you to really connect with your own authenticity that exists in your heart by opening up all of the directions around you and really digging into understanding their meaning. So there's what's in front of you, what's behind you, what do you receive to the left, what do you give to the right, what do you rest upon underneath you, what shines upon you from above, and then find your heart in the middle. And in these meditations, the way that I kind of guide people is like you're a king or a queen sitting on her throne in your heart. And when you close your eyes and you let your subconscious bring things to you to cross that bridge from what's in front of you, from what's behind you, what you receive, et cetera, it presents to you stories that are anxieties or excitations. And you get to choose if you clear them or create with them. You might be like, oh, wow, yeah, that this thing that I've been this dissociated, just sort of like humming in my body is this, I'm really nervous for this date I have tomorrow. It's in front of me, or this meeting that I have. And you might just be like, okay, thank you. So that gratitude comes in, right? And that gratitude says like, thank you for presenting yourself to me. I feel more prepared for this now, or I feel more aligned with it now. I dismiss you. Clear, right? Or you might say, there's something really beautiful there in this story. I'm going to write a song about that. Or I'm going to write a short story or some poetry. I'm going to make a painting about that. Because that anxiety is a place that can kind of call forth creativity. So the book itself is presenting that model. And it's digging in really deeply into all seven of those directions. And those directions in that system, that's the compass. And the map is my experiences. So that's where the kind of, you know, release for me comes through and the self-serving part for me. But the idea, and I say this in the writing, is like, you know, we're going to be walking across the map of my life, but we're going to keep checking in along the way and make sure that you can do this for your life too. And I, in this writing, I'm going to ask what is in front of me as deeply as I can, what's behind me as deeply as I can. And there's just a lot of insight that comes through that process that should serve anybody that is looking to become a creative with a lowercase c or a capital C.
So it's so funny. Like, you know, I'm on my journey, you're on yours. There is this, like, I never saw me part of like my job now is coaching leaders. And I never saw myself as that. I always saw myself as a creator and a creative. And there's still like, that's where my joy is. It's now just bringing creativity to leaders to help unlock them, right? That whole liberating concept. And I have this 6-month program now, and it's basically 2 hours a month with me. They've got homework to do away. But some of the sessions that I'll start with them, and usually it's not at the beginning because they got to defrost and thaw out before we get into the good stuff.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I will do 5 minutes and I'll say, all right, I'm turning off my Zoom. I'm turning off my audio. I want you to turn off your camera. Keep your audio on so you can hear me after the 5 minutes. But I will time it and just put your phone down and just close your eyes and allow your brain to go where it goes. No checking email, no checking your phone. And they'll go do their 5 minutes and then I'll come back on. And I will say, okay, past, present, or future, where did you go?
Cool.
Right? And you see where this is going. And
yeah.
You can see why I'm like, this is crazy that you have your, you know, you've got your process. And usually what I've learned now from this is when somebody goes to the past, they're stuck. They're stuck on something.
Yeah.
All right. When somebody goes to the future, they're just scared, which is what is the definition of being human. Remember,
yeah,
the human, right? Where our central nervous system is there because at the core of you, you are a human. And very rarely now have I actually had someone able to stay in the moment. And when they did stay in the moment, their anxiety was like they're stale. They're stale on a project that was right in front of their face.
Oh, interesting.
Right. They were stuck. they were stuck. They were literally like, they're just spinning. That's where they needed the most work. So in the past, stuck in the minute, spinning and stale because of it. And for the future was, they were scared because they were making up stories in their mind and this thing wasn't real yet, whatever it was. I don't know. The Maybe there's something there for you.
There is. The staleness is fascinating. And it makes me think of, you know, the incredible feat of creativity of creating from staleness, right? John Lennon, I'm So Tired, is like an example of that. I don't like listening to that song because he captured it so well, that feeling of just like being like, it's like that 3 o'clock sort of tired where you're just like, it's this sense of being stale. But he created from it. So even that is a story worth creating from. I love that model, though. Thanks for sharing that.
And finding a way through it. So you talked about the ego a bit ago.
Yeah.
I think there's a, you know, in the courage business, I always say fear and courage are brothers. You can't get to the courageous act without first addressing the fear. And we like to suppress fear versus address it, right? And again, a lot of fear in the idea business. You know, is my idea good enough? Your ego starts to play tricks on you. Is it original enough? Is it worth putting into a book and sharing? You know, so is that some of the stuff you're feeling, or do you feel that's primal and everybody feels that fear when it comes to the ideation arena?
For sure. You know, in the creative arena, there's, you know, I kind of shared a bit about this notion of it being about the idea rather than your idea, and just making way for it and kind of shifting the dynamic there. But one that I'm going through right now is, you know, the idea of being somebody that has a message of creative awakening. People like me are a dime a dozen. There's so many of us right now. And like everybody's got this, everybody wants to like teach, you know, their method, the way that we've been talking about. And that can create a lot of fear in terms of like wanting to protect your version of awakening. you know, but there's, like I said earlier as well, there's the idea of, you know, anything that's easy to do, difficult to master, you get social equity from being somebody that's like deepened your exploration of that and then sharing that with others. But what's really what I'm playing with right now that actually replaces any of that fear with awe is that there are so many people that are going through a process of waking up to their humanity right now, that it also requires an equal number of people to share their process, because for some people, their experience of waking up might require them to go to a zendo in the mountains and just be like hardcore, I'm gonna, you know, take the Buddhist path. For some people, it's something completely different. And so I think the more that everybody goes through their process and shares it, the more we all help each other. And it's the story is really shifting, where there's no one person on top of the mountain. There's no like hero in that way. We're all doing it together now, right? We're all climbing that mountain together. And how foundational that is of a shift in the cultural myth is very, very profound, very heavy, and very exciting. And it shifts the story from being a hero to just being a participant. And just like showing up for the story that we're all in, right? That we all do this together. And the best thing we can do is talk about it. So that's kind of how I sort of diffuse that fear becomes awe, because it's like, wow, look at what is happening. Look at what I am a part of. I'm doing this and they're doing it too. And they're doing it. We're all each doing it our own way. And so that means that anybody that's about to start doing is going to have a path leading to the same place that fits their needs. Like, that's so cool.
Yeah, to keep the metaphor going, I think there's a shit ton of mountains to climb right now. And that's good news, right? Like, we don't all have to climb the same mountain, right? If my podcast was called the Cowardly Podcast, would you come on it?
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. challenge accepted. No, probably not, right? And yeah. And so, you know, the universe has a way of bringing the right people together who are kind of on climbing the same mountains, and you're spot on. I loved your take on it's not your idea, it's the idea. And if the idea to you might be different than the idea to me from my lens. So that if you believe that to be true, then every framework that's out there, you could take little dashes of this and splashes of that, and it's mosaic 101. And if it helps you climb your version of the mountain, then please use it. Like, I have to get it out. Does it, you have to get it out? That I was like nodding my head on that. And yeah. I can't even explain why, other than I hope that more people will choose to live a courageous life and go take a cut. Like, don't go to the plate without your bat. Take a cut. Will, one of the things, well, there's more than one. Here are like the three or four things I took away from today. And I'd love for you to then sort of take us home with your own thought. So one, I like I said, I love this idea that it's not your idea, it's the idea. And always like fact checking yourself back to what's the idea. Adored that anxiety is creativity ready to be transmuted. I think that's super. Like, okay, I'm onto something. I don't know what it is yet, but when you feel that anxiety, you're on your way to something newish and meaningful. How you started today about remembering the human is not just a great mantra for Reddit. It's a great mantra for humanity. And you said it yourself, we're waking up to humanity. Like, we're all in our own sort of journey and trying to figure this out. And then I don't know if you feel this way, but I sort of took it this way, and you can tell me if I'm off on this. We all have the potential to be creators. We're all creative in our own way. There's tools to help us get there. Maybe it's like skiing. There's bunny slope creators. There's black diving creators, but it's there for anyone who wants to create. What would you add, and how would you take us home?
Sure. I mean, I'll bring it back to something about Reddit that I brought up at the beginning. I was talking about Place, that giant canvas on the internet where everybody made remarkable art together. The experience of it was you could only place one pixel every 5 minutes. So in doing that, you are being creative. And it might not necessarily feel like you've done a lot by placing that one pixel. But then when you zoom out, you see that you participated in creating the Mona Lisa. Right. And that's what I would want to close with, is this idea of it doesn't have to be a monumental effort. It doesn't have to have a monumental impact even to be creative. But just doing a little bit, just contributing in some way is really answering the call of being human, because we create. That doesn't mean that you have to create the masterpiece, but you can still participate in us all doing it together.
Well, Katie, thanks for helping us turn curiosity into understanding.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that one too. Appreciate you being on the show. Can you keep me in the loop on how the book writing journey is going? Maybe we'll get you back here when the book is out in the world and you can share what you learned.
Yeah, I'll call you at 3 a.m. when I'm in a crisis trying to figure out how to break through the writer's block.
Well, okay, maybe an email or a text, but I'm here to help however I can help. Thanks, Will.
Thank you.